On this show, we like to talk about ghosts, as if you hadn't noticed. We talk about the ghosts of people. We talk about the ghosts of pets. But have you heard of the ghosts of cars and trains and subways? Because that's what we want to talk about today. Dun, 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 dun.
Did you know I was going to open with that, Diana?
Nope. I didn't know any of that, but we have talked about ghost trains at least once.
True.
So ghost subways, though.
Hello, Hainted Loves. Welcome to Homespun Haints Bonus Edition. I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
I love how you emphasize that. And on our episode that we released on July 4th, we discussed a haunted parking lot from which many people like to view the July 4th fireworks, and their cars will move around while they enjoy the festivities. And then they come back 100% sober.
Totally sober.
Find their cars in different places.
Totally paranormal. Supernatural. Nothing to do with the drinking at all.
Absolutely not. No. Or being towed or booted or anything like that. So, my question for you all is, if a car moves on its own, is the car itself a ghost? Or is it the person driving the car that's a ghost? And why is it you can have ghost trains and ghost cars and ghost subways? If those things do not have souls of their own, or do they?
Oh, big questions today. Hang on. So what makes teleportation have to do with ghosts? If a car moves on its own, it doesn't have to be the ghost car or ghost driving the car. It just, it's teleporting. Teleportation doesn't have to do with ghosts, does it?
It's all in the paranormal range. I mean, Diana, when you teleported back through time and through different places in one of the most haunted museums in the U.S.,
Dude, no. I kind of did that last night as well.
What? Okay, yeah. All right. Tell, what happened? What happened?
Well, so, it's the thing I do with bathrooms, okay? So I was in the bathtub trying to magnesium salt out a really, really bad headache. I was like, I'm going to beat this naturally and use all this magnesium Epsom salts and take a bunch of turmeric and stuff. And I could barely see because I get a bunch of auras with my migraines. So I get in the bathtub and kind of like submerge my entire body except for my eyeballs, and I'm under the water, and I open my eyes, and I was in a different house for just a moment. I was in I know I can never like make it stick, so I was in a different house, so I immediately like sat up in the tub looking around, and it was not the different house. It's a bizarre sensation. I wish I could explain it. It feels completely supernatural when it's happening. It doesn't feel like I'm just hallucinating, but I'm probably just hallucinating. I don't know. It's so hard to say.
I mean, you were experiencing auras.
Yeah.
But the auras, did they change like the color and orientation of the room? Did it cause your vision to change such that you could perceive yourself in a different place?
So, young kids, when we used to get bad reception on regular tube TVs, we used to see this brightly colored snow, is what we'd call it back in my day. That is exactly what my aura is, except it's more geometric shaped. It looks like TV snow in a 10 grams pattern. But when you actually like try to focus your eyes on something, that snow kind of takes up a few of the pixels in the world. That's all I get with auras, that and weird light sensitivity.
So what bathroom were you in?
I was in the bathtub in the house that I'm cat sitting at. And the bathtub that I teleported to was in my mom's house, my childhood home.
The haunted one.
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay. So I will say this again. You need to get the fuck out of that house, Diana, because clearly it's already got its claws into you.
It's drawing me back through the pipes.
At what point will it be when you've moved? Who knows where? It could be to the other side of the country, and you still find yourself waking up in that
teleporting back to the bathroom. Waking up. Oh, thank God. I don't sleep in the bathroom, but yeah.
Oh, well, you've never been that drunk, huh?
No. These things all happen when I'm sober.
Well, there's your answer right there. Okay, so that's a really good question. When these vehicles move, is it teleportation or is it ghost activity? Or is it something in between or neither?
That's what I'm wondering, because they say it's purportedly a haunted parking lot that cars will move out of onto the street. But I don't know if it's ghost chauffeurs driving those cars, a ghost valet driving the cars out.
Or if the cars themselves become possessed somehow, like Christine.
That's a good point. Christine is a good example. Maybe it's possession of the vehicle. Can a ghost possess something that's, well, yeah, I mean, like demons could. And we talked about Dennis getting stuck in the amps of Tim's band.
Yeah, demons can definitely get in your equipment. They get in Diana's equipment all the time, her recording equipment.
That sounds sexy.
Get on down in that equipment.
Demons in your equipment.
Oh my gosh. Got to find the right hole and plug in. Oh, quarter inch. Oh, quarter inch. Rub me harder.
Oh my. That escalated quickly. I'm okay with 3.5 millimeters.
Okay.
I'm not sizist.
Anyway, that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about possessed vehicles. So before you guys like start thinking that we're just rambling, I do have three classic ghost vehicle tales to tell you today. Very classic. Date way back some of these hundreds of years. I also want to just relay a couple stories that we've heard from people on our Facebook group and from other sources that aren't necessarily as well known. For instance, we've had discussions on our group back when we first formed our group a couple years ago. There was a discussion of people who saw older model vehicles like from the 30s or the 40s just on the road and then gone. There have been reports of that. And this is a thing. This is a thing. People will see cars on the road. They're not really there, or are they? But they're always older models, and they always just kind of disappear. In some cases, they might even cause you to crash. In fact, there's a famous double-decker bus in London that will appear in the middle of the road after midnight, and people will swerve out of its way. It's got the lights off. It's driving down the middle of the road. Shouldn't be there. One guy, even in 1934, so violently tried to swerve around this phantom bus that he drove into a building and died in a fiery crash.
But oh my goodness.
There's no bus there. There's no bus.
It's the night bus.
It's the night bus, right? Yeah.
It's got to be the night bus.
I'm sure there's some influence there with a certain series of stories. But that's just an example. These sort of like ghost vehicles. Another story that I remember hearing about Bachelor's Grove, and I think we talked about this on our episode, The Most Haunted Cemetery. Bachelor's Grove is a cemetery south of Chicago. And I remember reading a relatively well-known ghost story collector from that area who himself reported seeing a 1930s black car backing into the cemetery. But when he drove up,
I remember this.
There was no car. And also, the road was chained off. There was no way a car could have been there.
Wait, but that sounds... Both of these, the night bus experience and the gangster car cemetery dump, both of these sound like, what's the type of haunting where you just have an impression recording that plays over and over again and can't really interact with? It's not really there. It's not conscious or sentient. It's just a recording.
Yes. Those are just kind of, yeah, like the impressions, the loops, the time loops. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's probably a technical term. We're just going to call it that. It's just like a glitch in a memory that gets replayed over and over again. And it makes sense that this could be an object. It could be a person. Could be an animal.
Or anything, really, if it's just a recording.
What about when it interacts with you?
That is what I'm curious about.
So I do want to share some kind of spooky urban legends and stories that may or may not be interactive.
Ooh, okay. Lay it on us, Becky.
Have you heard of Lincoln's Death Train? The train that traveled from D.C. to Springfield carrying Lincoln's corpse in 1865. The train was called the Constitution, and it was a gorgeous train that was gifted to Lincoln, but he never actually got to ride on it while alive. scripted to him, and then he was assassinated before he had a chance to ride on it.
Took his first ride posthumously.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Bummer.
All throughout the tracks between DC and Springfield, people still see his train. It's always like late at night. There was a very famous report that got recorded in a newspaper in 1872 by somebody working on the tracks who saw it. He had night shift going on, and he heard the train coming. He thought it was like a freight train that he was waiting for. He jumped down to the tracks to adjust the tracks so that the cars could unload the freight train. So the train conductor, he said that instead of the freight train, he saw another train go by that was covered in black crepe. And the people on the train had these long, haggard expressions. They were all white and ghostly pale, and they were wearing this like funerary garb. And there was all the smoke that came up and clouded the moon as the train went by. It continued and continued, and then it was gone. Poof. And he looked down because he had adjusted the tracks a certain way, and he was sure the train had messed up the tracks because it hadn't gone the correct way. The tracks were fine. But what was interesting was his watch lost 8 minutes. Now, this is in keeping with other legends of the ghost train, which is very commonly seen actually up in New York. It will even come into Union Station, which didn't exist at the time, but there were tracks there. All the reports have the same thing in common. The moon gets blotted out by clouds. It happens after midnight. It rushes through. It's covered in black garb, crepe, all the things of funerary processions. The flowers on the front of the train are still fresh. And your watch loses 8 minutes when it goes by.
Weird. Why do you think the watch loses minutes?
I don't know. The same person that was interviewed in 1872 said he saw it several times working late shifts. And he's not the only one. Other crew members started coming up with stories. And this has been spotted all over the country, all over the entire route that the train took. It took 21 days at the time to get from D.C. to Springfield because it kept stopping along the way for funeral processions or something. So it was a big deal. I could see how it would leave a huge mark, a scar in time as it was. And the country was very upset. It was very, very sad.
And given the time period, this was the time period when people would probably just go out to watch a train go by with the corpse of Lincoln somewhere on the train. Just to
pay their respects, yeah.
Yeah, pay respects. Or just to gawk and goggle at the spectacle because they don't have like electricity and TV and things that might entertain them.
So I don't know why your watch loses time. It's always late at night, and this train is always spotted in April, around the time of his assassination.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So it's actually repeating itself not just on a daily basis, but on a yearly and annual basis, perhaps.
Exactly.
Ooh. Is that normal when you're talking about recorded hauntings?
Absolutely.
That it happens on the anniversary?
Yeah, on an anniversary of some kind. Interestingly enough, some theories posit that part of the reason this is occurring is because Lincoln himself was such a believer in the spiritual. In fact, Lincoln's ghost is still wandering around the White House. That's a very, very famous legend. In fact, Winston Churchill actually saw him and interacted with him at some point. He's still seen in the White House quite a bit. His wife, Mary Todd, everybody gives her crap, but she got a very famous spirit photographer to do a photo of her with Lincoln's ghost hanging over her shoulders. He regularly would have fortune tellers and stuff in the White House. I mean, this was part of the spiritualist age, right? The 1860s. And so according to legend, he was kind of into it. Oh, and he actually apparently had a premonition of his own death.
Ooh.
Yeah. He reported that he went down, he was having a dream, and he went down into one of the rooms on the ground floor of the White House and saw everybody in mourning. And saw his body in the coffin. So interesting, interesting story. But that in itself still could be an impression, right?
Yeah.
The next story I'm going to tell you about, however, is a little more sinister.
I like it. I really like it. As long as it's sinister.
Yes. So the silver peeling. Or silver pillion, or something like that. It stands for Silver Arrow. It is a ghost train in Stockholm. Now, the story is that back in the 60s, Stockholm Metro was trying to figure out a way to have cheaper cars, cheaper trains. So they purchased these 8 trains made out of aluminum. And at the time, they usually would paint the cars green. But the Metro was like, you know what? We can save some money by not painting these things. And also, because they were newer, they didn't have like all the graffiti on the inside and they didn't put any ads up or anything. It was just kind of a test run to see how these trains would work. They started running these things and people got really freaked out. They were like, this doesn't look right. Oh. They would get on and be like, wait a minute, no graffiti and it's kind of an empty train and it looks different.
The people of Stockholm were like, this is not old and authentic enough for our train ride. We object.
Yes, exactly. Well, around about the same time, they started to build this train station called Kimlinge. I guess it would be Kimlinge or Kimlinge. It was basically a station that they started to build because it was supposed to be an area that was going to get developed. But the development never really panned out. And so today there's this like really creepy AF abandoned train station there. Here's the story that accompanies it. Legend has it that the Silverpilen can still be seen on the tracks of the Stockholm Metro. And it runs late at night. Usually what happens is you got off work late and you go down to the station, not really paying attention, and you're waiting forever for the train. And finally this train pulls up. Looks a little different, right? It's not painted green. But you get on anyway because you're tired, whatever. Maybe it's a new train. You're not really thinking. And you get on and you look around and it doesn't quite look right. There's no one on the train. Well, it's late at night, right? That happens. Maybe there's one or two people, but they just look like the walking dead, man. They just look like they've been sitting for hours, slack faces, circles under their eyes. Maybe they've been drinking. Maybe they just woke up on the train. Who knows? But whatever. The doors close behind you. And that's that. The train, if you're lucky, will take you and drop you off at Kimlinge. However, when you finally do get off of the train, hours, days, possibly even years have passed.
Whoa.
And you are not the same person. Zombie-like, you emerge from the station with all the others that have been stuck on the train for years. And that's if you're lucky. Otherwise, you may get stuck on this train for eternity as it sucks you into a portal of nothingness.
Whoa.
That's the legend.
Okay.
That's the legend. So, believe it if you want or not. This is a story that gets passed down, and people in Stockholm generally know, do not get on a silver car. Here's another part of the legend. So actually, the trains were decommissioned, right? And half of one of the cars ended up being used for police training. And you can still see it. You can still see these cars. Like, you can go to Wikipedia and see pictures of them. I mean, they do exist.
Police training in what?
Well, how to deal with, I don't know.
A hostage situation on a train.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. Irate passengers. If you don't know how this can happen, you haven't been on a public transportation.
I haven't. I live in Oklahoma.
And then another train ended up being made into like a cafe or something. But that still leaves 6.5 train cars unaccounted for.
Ooh, they're unaccounted for.
So where are they? Are they still actually running through Stockholm into another dimension? I'll let you do your own research, make your own decisions about that. But next time you're in Stockholm, if a completely bare aluminum car comes through late at night, I just don't get on. Just don't get on.
I don't know. It depends on how nice of a place to live this train is, because, I mean, the world's pretty messed up right now. But if you could spend a few years on this train, I'd just bring my favorite people and plenty of sog paneer and just, like, settle in for a long winter's nap. I need a break, man. I need a break.
Oh, I couldn't join you. I'm allergic to spinach.
Pollock paneer?
Pollock paneer works. And I like peas. No, that's yeah, exactly. As long as you're not there by yourself. It reminds me of an old ghost story I read as a kid, an old English ghost story from the 1800s called Night Train to Hell. And how the person who got on the train, like, managed to break the conductor's watch so that the train would just run forever for eternity, and all got to ride on this, like, completely hedonistic train and never had to go Ooh. To hell.
Oh, I see. It was the actual train to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But because it was broken, it would just be eternal purgatory, but in a nice way.
Yeah. Yeah. In a good way. Like, it was
That's
like,
nice.
It's kind of like your last meal. It was like kind of cool.
I like this idea. This sounds good. Yeah. This is sounding better and better. Let's go to Stockholm. Back up on MREs and recording equipment. We could start broadcasting from this train live from Stockholm / other dimension of train. We could interview some actual ghosts and interdimensional beings.
Okay. That sounds good. We'll just hope we can make it back at some point and share all this content with the world. Or not.
Is it possible to do a live stream interdimensionally?
I'd get glitchy. There's a few other stories, very famous stories. I'm sure you have heard of Little Bastard, which was James Dean's car.
Nope.
Little Porsche.
Tell
yeah.
me.
It was the car that he died in. And apparently it's cursed. It's responsible for injuries and deaths of other people as well. There's the Archduke Franz Ferdinand's death limo, also killed many, many people. 13 deaths, I think. JFK's car that he was shot in is in a museum, and you can go. It's in the Ford Museum in Michigan. And if you go there, you can feel a ghostly presence. Sometimes people see a man in gray standing near the car. Especially in November when JFK was shot. The car that inspired Christine, which is an old Dodge, is a police cruiser, and all the police officers that used it ended up brutally killing their families and themselves. Like, these are some of the famous ones.
But these are haunted cars, not ghost cars.
So that's the thing. Okay, so Little Bastard, right? James Dean's Porsche. The idea behind Little Bastard is that the car itself, they say cursed. Maybe it was possessed by a demon. When he died, he totaled it. But they put the engine in another car and the drivetrain into another car. And both of those vehicles ended up causing deaths and injuries to the people who purchased them. The reason Franz Ferdinand's car is considered cursed is because, you know, how shooting Franz Ferdinand was responsible for the start of World War I. Well, apparently, the reason they were shot is because his limo just stalled for no reason while they were trying to get away. And that's when they were shot.
You just said the start of World War I was because of a stalled limo?
Yes. The car that inspired Christine was a 1964 Dodge, which has been linked to 14 deaths. That's the one where I mentioned it was a police cruiser, and all three of the police officers who used it brutally murdered their families and then committed suicide. And
That's
then once
not just linked to a death, is it?
No, exactly. It like infested them. And then after that, you know, how police cars tend to be decommissioned and sold to the public. It just was having problems. It would always malfunction at times when it could cause an accident. Like, you're driving down the highway and the door would fly open, or it would just stall, or the steering wheel would jam up while you're trying to get out of the waves. That kind of crap.
Scary. This was the car punishing those who weren't yet possessed and,
I guess,
committing murder suicides. Okay.
So those are like some really famous ones, right? About possessed cars. I wanted to talk about the Black Volga.
The Black Volga? Is a Volga like a Volvo offshoot?
No, Volga's a river.
Oh, okay.
It's a river in Russia.
Got it. I'm learning so much today, Becky.
All right, so. And it was also the name given to a Soviet limousine in the 60s and 70s. And I know it's a little touchy talking about these parts of the world right now, but I do want to talk about this car. And this is all stuff that happened during the Soviet Union. It's actually in Ukraine where the most disturbing story about the Volga occurred. Now, for many years, people just thought that this was propaganda spread by the Soviet government to scare people or something. Who knows? In a country that forbade religion, it's interesting that this legend exists because people thought that the vehicle was being driven by Satan himself. However, was the vehicle being driven at all? Or was it its own harbinger of evil?
Ooh.
And I think this is interesting because every other thing I've mentioned, every vehicle I've mentioned so far, they're all linked to insane tragedy, right? Mm-hmm. Whether the person driving the car caused the tragedy or it was something done to the person in the car versus JFK. And it wasn't just tragic for that person. It was tragic for a lot of people. A whole nation mourned when JFK was shot. A whole nation mourned when Lincoln was shot. You have so much collective unconscious, a collective mourning and sadness and fear surrounding these things. So I'm just going to put that out there before I tell the story about the Black Volga, that this is a time when Soviet Union is, you know, people are disappearing for no reason. There's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear. It's just not a fun place to live, especially outside of Moscow. So the Black Volga is, or was, a limousine, a Soviet limousine. It's linked to disappearances, particularly children. Oh. And the idea is that the car would drive by, and kids didn't even have to get into the car. Just the car driving by, and the kids would disappear.
Ooh, scary.
Yes, never to be seen again. And the biggest, the most famous story is that it happened in Ukraine, and somebody witnessed it, a grown-up witnessed it, and he saw two girls walk up to the car, not open the doors or anything, but just like, oh, that's because cars are also not very common here. Let's put that out there, especially fancy cars like limousines. Mm-hmm. Not too common. My mother-in-law in Siberia in the 60s and 70s got around on a horse. So the girls come up probably like, ooh, look at that pretty car. And then almost like a portal opened up and they were like sucked inside as if a vacuum cleaner had come up and whoosh, just sucked them inside the car.
Ooh.
And the person who saw this was like, oh no. And he went up to the car and like looked in the windows and there was nobody inside. The driver's seat or the girls in the back. Nowhere. He walked around the car trying to find them to see what happened. And then suddenly there was this huge flash of white light as if the vehicle went back to whatever hellbent dimension it came from. And the guy who reported this woke up days later. No memory of what happened in between. He was probably asleep for days. Pounding headache. There's other similar stories. That's the one that's the most famous. But other stories of people just seeing kids approach the car and just disappearing. Just disappearing.
Creepy.
So, you see a Black Volga. You see one ever. I don't care what country you're in.
Keep your kids away from it.
Just stay away. Just stay away. Yeah. Move to another city or something.
Right.
Yeah. So after hearing all of these stories, Diana, can you tell me, can cars themselves be ghostly, be possessed? What do you think?
I definitely think yes.
What about trains?
Trains can be ghosts. That's a well-established fact, right? That's just established.
Or is it just an impression?
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. You're asking if an automobile of any type can perpetuate an intelligent haunting. It sounds like yes. It's possible. I mean, when you talk about something like, oh, Satan himself is driving that ghost car, it's another definition of Satan driving. Rather than having a physical body sitting in the seat like the TV show Lucifer, we're talking about Satan driving as in like Satan drives mad people to do bad things. So that sounds sentient to me.
It's pretty scary when you think about it. The whole idea of having a gremlin in your car too kind of reminds me of that. You know how, yeah. you know what I'm talking about. And if you've ever had an old car, you know this. Your car makes a really weird noise or does something really strange. Mm-hmm. All the fucking time, mm-hmm. except when you take it to the shop.
Yes, that's what gremlins in your car are. And I had a pretty new car that did that since its inception with the side mirrors would not quite act correctly. The lights don't always turn off, even though they're auto-off lights.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The door handle busts every time it gets replaced. The door handle busts. And so every time I get out of my car now, I have to roll the window down and reach out and use the outer door handle and the driver's side door.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really easy to carjack.
Mm.
Hard to get out, easy to get in.
Sucks. Well, Diana, thanks for letting me relay some stories. Relay some stories to you.
There's a relay race. You're trying to tie it back into automobiles. I get it.
Thank you for listening to some stories about some spooky ghost trains, spooky ghost subways that go through portals, and possessed cars named after rivers that suck you into a vortex.
Ooh, I'm very scared.
Evil, yes. Yeah, this is a lot scarier than, like, you know, good old-fashioned ghost stories. At least you can reason with a ghost.
Right? You can reason with a ghost.
But ghost a demon car? Fuck Oof. That. No. Mm-mm.
They move a lot faster, I bet.
We hope you all enjoyed this little bonus episode about sentient machinery.
It's a good thing you listened. You never know when you're going to get on a ghost subway car just because you weren't looking at the paint color. But if you do, you're really going to have a spooky day.
Homespun Haints is hosted by Becky Kielimnik and Diana Doty and produced by Homespun Haints Media LLC. Editing and music by Becky Kielimnik. Show notes by Diana Doty. If you have a ghost story and you'd like to be considered as a guest for this podcast, please visit our website at homespunhaints.com/submit.